Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. The show is available as a podcast, and it's also available on iTunes. And like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, they are available on Spotify. Hope you're safe, hope you're healthy, hope you're smart. Well, all of them, always, regardless of what's going on in the world. But and hope you're making the most out of the time that we've had to stay indoors. And, of course, once again, we will go through Facebook and Twitter universe to see what you have watched in the past week. And maybe that will inspire folks to watch some other things that we've mentioned. Who knows? But I'm going to do something that I almost never do. I'm going to start with dead people we like because we never have time for dead people we don't like. And sometimes it's the death of an artist that makes us that brings inspiration to watch their work or listen to their work. It especially happens a lot in the music industry and on the blues house party, if you're a listener of that. Anyway, let's just get to this. James Drury, who is best known as the star of the TV series The Virginian, who also appeared in films like Pollyanna, Good Day for a Hanging, Love Me Tender, Elvis's first film, and The Tender Trap, also appeared in Sam Peckinpah's first feature, Ride the High Country, as well as The Third of a Man and The Young Warriors. This is one of these guys constantly working in movies and TV, and mostly in Westerns. Alan Garfield, one of the great that guys, whose work goes all the way back to the late 60s in films like early Brian De Palma film Greetings, Robert Downey Sr.'s Putney Swope, Hi Mom, another De Palma film, The Owl and the Pussycat, Bananas, The Organization with Sidney Poitier. One of the things he got known, The Candidate with Robert Redford. He got some really nice buzz for appearing in Francis Ford Coppola's The Conversation from 1974, as well as Busting from 1974 and The Front Page. One that we've been meaning to watch at the Soucy household, and another one of his more outstanding performances was in Robert Altman's Nashville as the manager of a country singer who's falling apart. And while he seems like a bit of a bag at the beginning, you see as the film goes on his feelings toward his client. And apparently, and I need to revisit this on the Criterion disc of Nashville, that some of his best scenes were apparently cut out. So we'll have to see if that is true. Played Harry Fishbein, the boss in Mother, Jugs, and Speed. Yes. Louis B. Mayer in Gable and Lombard. If you're in, have a couple cocktails and enjoy this biopic with Jill Clayburgh as Carol Lombard and James Brolin as Clark Gable from 1976. Constantly where he was in The Stuntman, One Trick Pony, One from the Heart, Continental Divide, The Black Stallion Returns, Irreconcilable Differences, Teachers. I watched him recently as Avadeva Berman in Francis Coppola's The Cotton Club from 1984, Desert Bloom, of course, from 1986, Let It Ride, Beverly Hills Cop 2, and just kept on working up until 2002. One of his last films was he was Leo in The Majestic. So salute to Alan Garfield. And yes, on the same day that my favorite baseball player, Al Kaline, died, Honor Blackman passed away, best known as Pussy Galore in Goldfinger, as well as Catherine Gale in The Avengers and Professor Lasky in Doctor Who, Queen Hera in Jason and the Argonauts. She reunited with Sean Connery in the weird Western Shalico from 1968. But this was a woman, of course, one of the most famous Bond girls of all time, whose works began in the late 40s and was working up until 2015. And this next one goes out to Tracy Forner. Lee Fierro passed away at the age of 91. She was a local community actress in her neck of the woods. We know her best as Mrs. Kintner, Alex Kintner's mother from Jaws. She's the one who slaps Roy Scheider in the face. And she does come back in Jaws the Revenge. You don't need to watch that to see if that's true. But this was a woman who was apparently a community actress and a teacher when they were filming before and after the making of Jaws. So good crack there, Lee. She was 91 years old. All right. I'm going to end the show with some Bill Withers and some talk about a couple of films that his music appears in. New on Blu-ray this week, Little Women. Yeah, so if you haven't gotten to it, get to it. It's a marvelous production. And, of course, marvelous film. And I, of course, dedicated two episodes of Film Sociology to that. If you need to see Robert Downey Jr. as Doolittle, that's out there. And then I'm hoping to watch this very soon and see if I can get Fred Williamson back on the show. VFW, the story of some war veterans at a local VFW who battle for survival when... I guess there's a drug out there that turns the young kids of today into punk zombie mutants. So imagine From Dusk Till Dawn or Rio Bravo, but with veterans. So anyway, Fred Williamson is in that. We'll see if I can finally get him back on the program. I also want to mention that IU Cinema is doing some streaming. So find obviously look for films that are streaming, especially new films. I know some of the studios are doing that. But I know, like, this weekend, the Best of Cat Video Fest Creature Comforts Edition is streaming through May 10th. And a virtual ticket, a suggested donation, and a percentage of the proceeds will directly support IU Cinema. So go to IU Cinema for more information on that. Okay, I just mentioned a couple titles that came out on DVD and Blu-ray, and I'm streaming because I do physical copies. One of the other titles, and I finally got around to watching it. Oh, man. Cats is now out on video. And, okay, here's my... I saw Cats, a touring production of Cats when I was at Ball State. Yeah. Nice costumes and a lot of dancing, and there's a couple songs of note, obviously. Cats in the Soci household was the first play that my daughter went to see. She saw it with Lynn. I want to say she was 5, and it was the first show they walked out of. About halfway through Act 1, Emma leaned over to Lynn and said, "Mommy, nothing's happening. Can we go now?" And Lynn taught her some theater etiquette of, no, we have to wait. Let's wait until intermission. And then they got up and left at intermission. So there you go. So this opened in December and got trounced. And apparently a couple days after it was released, there was reshoots. And yes, I've not seen the how should I phrase this? Because it's NPR. I've not seen the B-hole cut of Cats, and if you need to look that up, look at it. Okay. When it is humans in cat costumes with human hands, by the way, not paws, I guess, I don't know. When there is actually singing and dancing, it's okay. It's what it is. It's never been my cup of tea. And we can get into the logistics of the human faces on cat bodies, but we already mentioned that but at the very, very beginning of this film, there's some wire work and there's some speeding up of animation and some CG that you don't really need. It should be fantasy enough that we're seeing humans in cat. I don't know. I don't think they're costume pieces, but there's more CG than there really needs to be. And it
for those who don't know, it's a stray cat who is dumped in a bag and out in the street and meets up with the other street cats. And then there's the selection of one cat to go to the good place, for lack of a better comparison. And you have everybody from Idris Elba and James Corden and Rebel Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a Rebel – Cats qualifies as a Rebel Wilson film where she falls down and goes boom, because apparently that's funny. The film also has feline puns not really needed. The original production, it's just music. Idris Elba's in this as well. Jennifer Hudson, sorry. Judi Dench, Ian McKellen. Judi Dench is good. She plays Deuteronomy. She gets to play a male role. Sir Ian is fine for what he has to do. It's just odd. It's just an odd. And I know some people love Cats. The Soci household is not. I wish I had watched this in the evening with a couple cocktails. I wound up watching it in the morning. When you see them shot at regular size, it's one thing. But when you have little CG mice or actors in mouse costumes, and they're reduced, it just adds to the oddness of this. And this is from Tom Hooper. This is the man who gave us Les Mis. And Les Mis is way better by comparison. Apparently, the film also wants to bring back synthesizers from the 80s. And at a film that's about an hour and 45 minutes, at times it felt longer than Les Mis. It's not the worst thing ever. As I said, some of the singing is okay, and some of the dance numbers, when they're not cutting away, there's one particular tap dance number, and I don't know the names of the cats. I just know a couple of the actors, but there's one tap dancing sequence as I'm watching, and I'm like, okay, you're doing that. You're not doing that. Doing that. You're not doing that. And there's at least two climaxes of this film, could be three. And Ray Winstone's in this, so, good for him. It's something to be seen. I know the Tiger series on Netflix is talked about. I would say watch Cats instead. It's shorter. But no, it's be in the right frame of mind. It's not going to convert anybody. It's just a strange damn thing, and it's now out on video. A couple other things I got to watch on DVD that were sent. One is a cool documentary from England called Vinyl Revival. And usually I am one of those that it is a flaw in the film if I already know the information, but apparently this film wasn't necessarily made for me. It's made for those who didn't know that vinyl has made a comeback, and it strictly follows stuff in England as far as new shops, new independent stores. I also mentioned this because Record Store Day was supposed to happen this month. They've rescheduled that. I hope that we are able to have a Record Store Day. But it talks about how music is being bought again and how the number of stores have opened and more people, and not just old people, young people, my daughter being one of them, it is getting into vinyl. Nick Mason shows up as one of the talking heads in this show to talk about why vinyl is better and why there is a comeback. It's only about 45 minutes, but it's kind of cool to remind yourself about why we, especially these days, need to have music and support music and musicians. And as an old fogey who's into physical copies, I'm all for that. Also out on DVD from the Film Movement folks is a drama called Goldie that came out last year. And this is actually a collaboration between 20th Century Fox and Vice Films. And Goldie is an 18-year-old who wants to be a star. And this particular, at the beginning of the film, she is lined up to be a dancer in a hip-hop music video. But things are rough with her and her sisters. Mom is arrested for dealing drugs. She loses her job, tries to shoplift a coat for the video shoot, runs off with the kids before protective child protective services come in. And as we find out without giving away a whole lot, what is her goal at the beginning of the film is not as glamorous as she realizes. it takes a while to build some sympathy in the Goldie character, but it does kick in the second half, and it becomes a survival tale. So it's a decent film if you have the time, and most of us do. All right. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. I'm going through the stuff that I watched this past week. And now I'll go through some of the older titles, and then I will get to Facebook and Twitter world to talk about what you have seen. So I got to watch, and this is also a good opportunity, and this is where we're at in the world of, do we try new stuff that we've always heard about, or do we go after stuff that we're familiar with? So starting out, I had never seen this from 1945, the Philip Marlowe story, Murder My Sweet, with Dick Powell as Philip Marlowe, looking for a missing gun mall. There's some pretty decent camera work for a quote-unquote B-movie from Warner Brothers. It also upset your directors Edward Dmytryk and writer John Paxton. Edward was one of the Hollywood Ten, and John Paxton would later be blackballed from RKO for the stuff that happened in the 50s. But there's also a side case about a wealthy family with a missing jade necklace. But Powell is good. He was, you know, obviously a musical guy in the 30s and early 40s, and then got a chance to play Philip Marlowe. And according to Raymond Chandler, Dick Powell was his favorite Philip Marlowe. So it's on Warner Archives, so look for Murder My Sweet. I also got to revisit The Duelists, which was Ridley Scott's first feature film from 1977 with Keith Carradine and Harvey Keitel as two soldiers in two officers in Napoleon's army. There is a misunderstanding, a miscommunication. Well, you also have a hot-headed Harvey Keitel and Keith Carradine, who's just trying to do his job, and a gorgeous-looking film about the honor and stubbornness that comes with being a gentleman at that time. And the gentlemen have several duels that are delayed or have to cease for various reasons, and the dueling codes. So this is not there is more to a duel than just one shot and that's it, or, you know, one stab and that is it. So but it's an interesting artifact of its time. I was listening to the commentary track from Ridley Scott, and I didn't realize how limited a release it got. Keitel and Carradine were fairly hot in 1977 because of films like Nashville and Taxi Driver. But apparently Paramount didn't know what to do with it and put it out in a handful of theaters back in 77, and has built a cult following ever since. But a really good film. The smarter two-thirds had never seen Moonlight, and we finally got to that. Yes, Best Picture, Moonlight. And the smarter two-thirds loved it, as did I. Lynn was impressed about the actors and the characters being able to be that vulnerable. I'm going to tell this story and not name names, but there's a group of gents that I see movies with on Thursdays when I'm not working. We go to a movie, and then we have lunch, and this is the first of two people that I've come across that wasn't crazy about Moonlight because they said there's nothing happening, even though a young boy dealing with his sexuality and dealing with the outside world dealing with his sexuality in Miami ghetto is pretty conflicting enough, I think. But anyway, he knows who he is. But it was good to revisit that film. It's the first time I watched it since it came out. So that was pretty cool. Another one I had not seen in quite a while, and I'm glad I revisited, from 1942. It's only 75 minutes, but it packs a punch. And for many, it could be the first grown-up Western, The Oxbow Incident, with Henry Fonda, Harry Morgan, and a story of a group of, a posse of vigilantes that go after three men suspected of cattle rustling and killing a local farmer. Will they get lynched or won't they? Dana Andrews and Anthony Quinn are two of the accused. And the Fonda and Morgan character kind of come along for the ride. And there's elements of 12 Angry Men, which would come out like 15 years later, as far as the Henry Fonda character of questioning what is right and what is vengeance and what is justice. A really solid film. So look for that. Emma has been on a Greta Gerwig kick lately, and she had not seen Frances Ha, the collaboration between director Noah Baumbach and a screenplay co-written by Baumbach and Greta Gerwig, about a woman in her 20s who's still looking to find herself in New York City and what happens when plans go awry. My daughter's going to be graduating high school this spring, and I think she gravitated toward that very much. And interesting to watch that after we had watched Mistress America. Probably should have done it in the other way. Another Emma pick, because she had listened to a series of video essays about failed relationships. She had seen Her. She had seen 500 Days of Summer. She had seen Marriage Story. But one of the films that was mentioned, she had not seen Sofia Coppola's Lost in Translation, of course, with Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson. Emma liked it. I wondered if she would, because of the aspect of older man, younger woman that makes her eyes roll. But she liked the fact, and I agree, that there was a balance of the two stories. It wasn't just 90% Bill Murray, and Scarlett Johansson was not a manic pixie dream girl. So anyway, I'm glad she got to check that out as well. And yeah, we don't know what she whispered. That's just how it is. And then finally, I'm working on a script idea, and I don't want to give away too much, but it required me watching and revisiting the 1987, if I remember right, film version of the Jason Miller play That Championship Season that Miller also wrote. And it's a reunion of four high school basketball players now in their 40s with their coach. Your coach is Robert Mitchum. Your basketball players who are now adults are Bruce Dern, Stacy Keach, Paul Sorvino, and Martin Sheen. Shot in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and the film looks cool. And it's the reunion of these guys and how at one point they were at their best as basketball players. And even though they have grown to bigger and better things, there's dissension among them. And it's a lot of old white guys being sad. There's a remake version of this that was made for television with that Paul Sorvino plays the coach and directed. I'm hopefully going to get to that next week. This was also one of the prestige films from Canon Films. The Golem Globus guys had the deals. If you've ever seen, if you get a chance, look for the documentary Electric Boogaloo, the story of Canon Films. But they would market the action films, like, and the sci-fi and the horror films that that made them money. But they would also work with directors like Jean-Luc Godard and Norman Mailer and John Cassavetes. And it was one of those, like, the deal was, if you wanted the new Chuck Norris movie, you also had to pick up That Championship Season. So it was one of those projects. Anyway, it was fun to revisit that film that I'm going to spoof in a way, and that's just what I'm going to leave it. All right. We go to my Facebook page and your comments here. Grab a pencil if you haven't already. There's plenty of titles out there. Here we go. Gretchen writes, watched Born Free and the Ken Burns Civil War series. It's amazing what multi-part documentaries and series that we go through. Evan Dossey, who's been on the show, says he has watched Cats 3 times, and I believe it. I don't know why. He's enjoying this more than I did, I guess. Joe writes, Avengers Endgame with the family. Might have enjoyed it more if my son didn't point out every flaw in the storyline. No, let him do that, Joe. Sam Watermeyer, who's been on the show. Misery. my 50th viewing, Jen's first viewing. Also revisited Tootsie. Good call there. Matt writes, this is Matt Hurt. I had a nice Philip K. Dick adaptation triple feature on Monday. The Adjustment Bureau, Next, and Minority Report. And he's pointing out that Adjustment Bureau and Next are on Hulu and Minority Report are on Netflix. David writes he watched Onward and the final two Alien films. Maya writes, Onward is great. We also finally saw Knives Out. Good. Daniel. Daniel always has a list. Miss Fisher and the Crypt of Tears. Libeled Lady. Fashions of 1934. That's with William Powell and Betty Davis. A Special Day. An incredible film I had not seen before with Marcello Mastroianni and Sophia Loren. I'm with you there, Daniel. I need to revisit that one. It's been years since I've seen that. The Bad and the Beautiful. The Wizard of Oz. Agatha and the Truth of Murder. The Madam C.J. Walker series. And Collins Meets Coward. Frank writes some classic Caddyshack, No Country for Old Men, Up in Smoke, and the new one on HBO, Anna. Clay writes, I rewatched Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ for the first time since I originally saw it in the theater. Yep. Happy Easter, folks. Brian writes, introduce BB, this is Brian Hartz, introduce BB to Harry Potter and Monica to James Whale's Frankenstein. We will probably tackle Bride of Frankenstein before the week is out. Universal has done a great job restoring all the flagship monster movies, even if an HD restoration means you can sometimes see the wrinkles in the backdrops. Technically, Monica had to watch it for a class, so I can only take partial credit. I told Brian, I remember when Emma, when she was younger, a little bit older than BB, Emma also went through a classic Universal monster movie phase, which I was happy to say. But eventually she had to put a kibosh on no more mummy or werewolf movies, Wolfman films. So that's a bummer. She did like The Invisible Man and Invisible Woman. She likes the original Wolfman and the Hammer Horror Wolfman, Curse of the Werewolf with Oliver Reed. But that's it for her. And Brian chimes in, though the Del Toro Wolfman really isn't too bad. Great Elfman score. Sarah writes, currently watching a Korean title called Hit and Run Squad, which is a hoot. Also watched the most recent Men in Black this week. Nancy writes, we rented St. Francis through the Neon Stars and screenplay by Kelly O'Sullivan. I think we'll be hearing more from her. I hope so. Hi, Andy. Andy writes the film adaptation of Killer Joe. Try not to eat chicken when watching that film. John writes The Proposal and Ocean's 11. Don't know which one. You have to let me know, Jack. Ed writes, finally watched The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. Enjoyed them all. The story about Bill Knapp and his fiancée was particularly heartbreaking. Robin chimes in, love that movie. Have watched it 6 or 7 times. So there you go. Robin also wrote The Girl with All the Gifts. Maybe not the best choice right now. Kind of hits close to home. I understand. Rachel writes, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. 42, and thanks for the fish. Marnie writes, I liked Troop Zero for the kids. Eric writes, Leatherface. This is just how the list goes, folks. Joe writes, in the past week, I've been watching series binging Picard and Westworld. Bess writes, Mrs. Miniver. My husband and I made a date to watch it together after he found it in the cable guide. First movie we have watched together in months. Michelle writes, the documentary One of Us. Jay writes, currently we are re-watching Godless with Jeff Daniels, Michelle Dockery, and Jack O'Connell. I'm a sucker for a good Western, so well done across the board. Nominated for many Emmys, won 3, I think. And it was filmed in New Mexico, so I love it even more. Thank you, Jay. Kathy writes, we watch a movie about every evening. Two that keep turning over in my mind are Saving Grace and Presumed Innocent. Melissa writes, Twilight Zone the movie. And yes, do you want to see something really scary? Doug writes, 3 from Hitchcock, Secret Agent from 1935, Young and Innocent from 1937, and The Lady Vanishes from 1938. A Joe E. Brown comedy, Sons of Guns from 1936, and Spencer Tracy's first Oscar winner from 1937, Captain's Courageous. Tracy, the MTV girl, finding my feelings and uncertainty with The Big Short this week. Hang in there, sweets. Aaron writes, I watched Onward. Britt writes, Looney Tunes back in action, Venom, Captain America, second act. As always, virus or not, we've also loved a lot of I Love Lucy and the Andy Griffith Show. I know, Britt, I don't know if you watched that completely as a family, but I think you did. And that's cool. Lee writes, Citizen Kane. Patty writes, Dragon Wick from 1946. The original, The Fog, Pimpernel Smith. If it's Tuesday, it must be Belgium. Mystery Science Theater 3000's The Incredible Melting Man, Without a Clue, and Riff Track's Treatment of the Magic Sword. Roxana writes, I watched That Thing You Do, RIP to Adam Schlesinger. Of course, we played his music on the show last week and revisited the original High Fidelity movie after watching the new Hulu series. Oh, and I watched the Joan Jett flick The Runaways now on Netflix. I hadn't seen that in the theater since we saw it so many years ago. That's right, Roxana. Thank you. And I'm glad you also got to watch the film High Fidelity. As a reminder, the film and the series are both equally good. It's not a competition. They are fine both among themselves. So go check those out. Nancy writes, Slumdog Millionaire, I can't believe I've never watched it. Well, Nancy, better late than never. Aaron writes, Train to Busan, a 2016 South Korean zombie film, fantastically entertaining. Lee also chimes in that there is a sequel to this coming soon. This is good Facebook correspondence, folks. JJ writes, The Maltese Falcon and Half of Thunderball. We'll get to the other half. Devin writes, Crip Camp on Netflix and Onward on Disney Plus. Susanna writes, Ozark and Annie Hall. Wow, in that order? John writes, Onward, I love when Disney sticks with the archetypical stories. I enjoyed it. Lee also writes, The Invisible Guest. Krista writes, Empire Records, of course, because, yeah, this week was Rex Manning Day. Hi, Alicia. Hi, Lish. Jamie writes, Onward, it was such a fun and sweet movie. Elizabeth writes, Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, The Shawshank Redemption, and Greater. Jeff writes, Harriet and Onward. Melissa writes, Live and Let Die, and my husband stayed up very late last evening watching A League of Their Own. Well, there is no crying in baseball. Dustin writes, The English Patient, The King's Speech, and A River Runs Through It. Monica's been on the show. I introduced Brian to The Edge of Love, and Brian immediately chimed in, Yes, she did. A very slickly directed and well-acted film, though it certainly did not endear me to Dylan Thomas. Michonne writes, All 11 Star Wars movies in modified machete order began the MCU in modified chronological order, sticking with the familiar and comforting. Understood. Eric wrote, Trouble with the Curve. Jeff writes, In the past week, I've watched Matilda, Hidden Figures, Bombshell, The Five Heartbeats, Cooley High. I also watched a great little independent film shot in black and white called Sick of It All. Ronald writes, Field of Dreams, Tall in the Saddle, The Last Hurrah, Murphy's Romance, and Rushmore. Taylor writes, Another Thin Man, Key Largo, Godzilla, and all seven Harry Potter films. Chloe writes, Social Network, Baby Driver, The Host from 2006, Frank, The Nice Guys, and Intolerable Cruelty. Tried to watch Mary Queen of Scots, but I couldn't get into it. And that's the Saoirse Ronan, Margot Robbie version of that. So it happens. Sean writes, The Hotspot and Goldfinger. Gary writes, Dr. No and Terror is a Man. Alan writes, Shoplifters for Class, The Wicker Man, the original version, and Moonstruck. Jared writes, Just introduced my boys to Kenny Rogers in The Gambler. Loves it. Wow, good timing. Well, again, this is another reason. Kenny Rogers dies. More people watch The Gambler. It happens. Lou Harry's been on the show. Onward. And if streaming theater counts, which he always likes to bring up, and sure, why not? A Woman of No Importance. Lady Windermere's Fan. One Man, Two Govs. The Globe's production of The Winter's Tale. Hamlet. Love's Labor's Lost. Royal Court's Cypress Avenue with Stephen Ray. And Tonight, which was yesterday, Donmer Warehouse's Company. Linda writes, The Farewell, again. Annie writes, Dragonwick, awesome movie. Annie also had problems with horror movie logic while watching John Carpenter's The Fog. That was fun for me on Facebook. Tom writes, all three Jumanji movies and the first two Indiana Jones movies. Tammy writes, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Michaela writes, Train to Busan, Parasite, and Earthquake Bird on Netflix. Tony writes, Once Upon a Time in the West, Tootsie, Babette's Feast, and Dirty Harry. Tony, oh my God, it's Henry Fonda. Laura writes, The Perks of Being a Wallflower. I was surprised by how much I liked it. Sweet coming-of-age film with excellent tunes. Laura, I'm with you on that. I, of course, have vocalized before about being a fan of the recent high school films than the ones I had to grow up with. The one thing I had an issue with that film was when the Emma Watson character is riding on the back of the truck and the song that is playing and her character doesn't know it, it's Heroes by David Bowie. And I thought, this is a girl that knows New Order and I believe Depeche Mode, but she didn't know Bowie. And then somebody who had read the novel told me that the song that's in the book is Fleetwood Mac. And that makes a little bit of sense. But that was my one tiny little flaw with Perks of Being a Wallflower, although I love the song Heroes. And for the moment in the film, it is used well. Just that little discrepancy. But I'm that guy. Joan writes, haven't had time for movies since I've been working so much. Glad you're working, Joan. But Steven and I watched Shawshank Redemption for the bajillionth time because it's Shawshank. Yes. Leah writes, I highly recommend Sleeper from 3 years ago called, A Sleeper, called The Way, Way Back with Sam Rockwell, Steve Carell, Toni Collette, Maya Rudolph, and Allison Janney. It's a comedy about a teen that goes on vacation with mom and total ex-boyfriend and takes a job at a local water park with a bunch of motley fools. And Diana chimes in, yes, this movie is amazing. Leah, I need to watch that. I have not gotten to that yet. And it sounds like it should be on a double bill with Adventureland. Speaking of Diana, she writes in also Baby Driver, The Cube, tried Parasite, but need to try when I can really watch and not be distracted. Diana, you are correct. Ken writes in Hospital, Heavy, TCM. Hang in there, Ken. Ty writes Fido. And finally, Claire writes, we finally watched Parasite. Loved it. I love movies that make me feel like I need to read all the director's interviews to learn more about the cinematography and symbolism. I want to watch more of his work. So, of course, I chimed in with The Host, Snowpiercer, and Okja. So there you go, folks. Hopefully there's some film titles in there for you. Oh, Eric. I'm sorry. Eric sends me his via email so he doesn't get in trouble at work. First time viewing was the German film from 2018, Never Look Away. And from 1971, A Fistful of Dynamite, also known as Duck, You Sucker. The step redheaded step film of the Sergio Leone films with Rod Steiger and James Coburn. And it's a good film. It's not at the same level as the Spaghetti Western trilogy or Once Upon a Time in the West, but still pretty good. He rewatched the wonderful 1949 film A Letter to Three Wives. TCM-wise, The Thing from Another World. Them, he mentioned that. And then monumentally unwatchable Attack of the 50 Woman to landmarks such as Forbidden Planet and Godzilla from 1954. The Mystery Science Theater treatment of The Thing from Another World, which he refers to as His Girl Friday meets a carrot from space. Thank you there. So anyway, folks, there's plenty of titles out there. I hope you're able to entertain yourself and discover something new. On the Blues House Party, I talk about something old and something new. If you pick a title that you've seen 100 times and it's cinematic comfort food and you're familiar with it, that's great. I would also say this is a good opportunity to try films you haven't seen. I'm trying to do that as well. The DVD and Blu-ray pile, yes, I have those. Are getting I'm chipping away at those. Although this weekend I might go into the Ingmar Bergman collection. I don't know. It is Easter weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people.
Zardoz has spoken.
Go find a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there, I assure you. I want to end the show this week with a little bit of music from Bill Withers. Now, I of course, he passed away last week, and I'm sorry I'm late on this. Going through his IMDb, his music appears in 235 credits of TV and movies. And out of all of those, and I'm sure you have yours, but there's three that come to mind for me. Use Me is used quite well in a little sequence of Oliver Stone's Any Given Sunday, or as my buddy Fred Williamson says, a film about football made by somebody who doesn't know anything about football. But it's still kind of bonkers fun. I like bonkers Oliver Stone. But anyway, that's used there. The best use of a Bill Withers song in a film is Ain't No Sunshine in the film Notting Hill. There's a great sequence where they use the song and Hugh Grant strolling through the Notting Hill market as a passage of time. I would play that, except that song's been played to death. I'm going to play for you instead, Who Is He and What Is He to You? And I really love the use of this song in Quentin Tarantino's Jackie Brown. So salute to Bill Withers. And yes, I know Lean On Me is out there, and it's a different film, and I have to have Abdul Hakim Shabazz to talk about that film. But yes, I know there's a film called Lean On Me with the song Lean On Me. Anyway, we'll end the show with Who Is He and What Is He to You by Bill Withers. Hope you find a good movie out there. Stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll try again next week. Take care, folks. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
A man we passed just tried to stare me down, and when I looked at you, you looked at the ground. I don't know who he is, but I think that you do. Dadgummit, who is he and what is he to you? I have something in my heart and in your eyes. Tell me he's not someone.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What kind of parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!